Welcome to the Built Different podcast. I'm your host, Will May, team leader and real estate coach at Keller Williams Greater Omaha. And I am so excited for today's conversation. I feel like I have, you know, Nebraska basketball and Omaha real estate legend in the house, Karen Jennings. All my conversations with you are always, you know, cherished. I love speaking with you. I'm always inspired. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking me.
Of course. Of course. I'm excited because I just get to pick your brain for 30 minutes. So sure. I appreciate you making the time. We always start with three questions. So we're going to go through those and then we're going to let the conversation take it where it will, right? So I always like to ask people and just, you know, what you've been through in life and where you're at today. If you could write a book today, what would you write about?
I've actually thought about writing a book many times and one of these days I probably will. But I think I would probably talk about that life is like scoliosis. Mm. So, I was diagnosed with scoliosis when I was 12. I should be an inch and a half taller than I am, but I've always just, you know, I wore the back brace. But I think what it taught me is that, you know, scoliosis is a curvature and rotation of your spine. And I think in life, it's twisting, it's turning, it's adapting, it's that's who I am. And I think that in life you just, you know, you have your bumps in the roads, you have your ups, you have your downs, but you have to just work through it. And I listened to, there was a coach that talked about life being hard and that, you know, when you're in high school, you just want to graduate because it's going to be so much easier when you get to college. And when you're in college, you think it's just going to be so much easier. It won't be so hard when you graduate from college and you get a job. And then you think it's going to be easier when you get married and you think it's going to be easier. Well, in actuality, it's hard all the way through and it just kind of keeps coming at you. So the sooner that we learn how to handle hard and that realize that's just part of life, the better we're going
to
be.
Yeah, and everything's here to help us for the next moment, right?
That's right.
That's such a good way to view things.
Yeah.
And it seems like you've had to do that from an early age, so I'm excited to hear a little bit more about that. When it comes to being a realtor,
yes.
I always ask, what's the biggest misconception? This is a super easy industry, right? What's the biggest misconception of being a realtor?
The biggest misconception is that we wake up late, we go to bed early, we drive around, we put signs in the yard, and we show houses all day. That's what everyone thinks that we do. And that's that right. We live this glorious life where we drive these nice fancy cars and wear these nice clothes and get to have fun every day. And that is like one-tenth of what we do. And what people don't realize is that preparation, that we spend hours preparing to meet with people, setting up showings, searching, understanding the market, educating ourselves about interest rates, loans, appraisals, inspections, that we have to be so skilled in so many different ways and we have to wear so many hats every single day, and that our business is twisting and turning every single day, and that you just have to wake up every morning, you have to stay motivated, and you have to keep pushing through.
Yeah, and there's no transactions the same.
No ever. Transaction is the same, and no family's the same, no person's the same, no lender's the same. It is always, always a new adventure every day.
That's exactly right. And you've had repeat clients at this point, and those aren't even the same, right? Everybody that we're dealing with, there is a transactional process for how to sell real estate, mm-hmm. but we're dealing with people, and that always has its own, you know, it has its own set of challenges.
Absolutely. That's really what I love about residential real estate is it's how personal it is.
Yeah.
How I get to be a part of their family for a short amount of time. And then I try to like stay with them mm-hmm. to be that forever client. And it's always about the relationships.
I love it. How long have you been selling real estate?
Well, 22 plus
22.
Years.
So you sold a couple houses.
I sold a couple houses.
To be fair.
Yeah.
What are you seeing in the market right now? You know, I'm sure you get that question a lot, very broad, but is this like other markets you've seen? Is there more uncertainty or what are you seeing?
This market reminds me when I first got in the business without the inventory. But when I first was licensed, I passed my test in 2001, and the first year I really started selling, the interest rates were 6.5, 6.25, 6.75. And we had to, you know, there was, but the only difference is that we probably had 2,000 to 3,000 more houses on the market, but it's kind of the same flow. I feel like we're getting back to where we can ask for an inspection.
Yep.
We have, we can go back for a second showing. If we don't get it, I feel like there'll probably be another one coming, but we still have to act quickly. Like last night, I had a lake house I listed, and we had two offers that came in on a lake home that's listed at $699. And I thought that it was, I priced it well, but obviously, you know, when you get two really good offers, and we sold it above asking, and I thought to myself, okay, well, that's a lack of inventory on lake properties.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that's telling me right now. And I wasn't sure on that market because we're a little early. We just got off of snow. But the buyers are hungry. And what I learned is that both of those buyers that wrote offers have been looking for months and months and months. And so they have been in the hunt. And I think our inventory is still a little bit of an issue.
Yeah, I mean, I think when we looked last week, maybe there's only 4 or 5 weeks of total inventory when it comes to how what's mm-hmm. still on the market.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happens throughout 2024? Like we talked about this a little bit before it started. I've heard so many people think that their units are going to tick up this year. I haven't seen it yet. What do you think is going to happen here in 2024?
I think it's going to be about the same as last year.
Okay.
I see a stabilization of our market. I don't see it going way, way up or going way, way down. I think it depends on how hard you're working personally,
mm-hmm.
how your business is going to be. I don't think you can blame the market. I think you just have to get after it. And you have to communicate, and because there are a lot of people out there that are on the fence on what to do.
Yeah.
And you just got to, like, put yourself in the market. The conversation I had this morning with one of my clients is, I sold them the house 15 years ago. And they're ready to go from a two-story to a ranch. And I said, well, we can wait one more year if you want, or you can build and we can, you know, list your house after Christmas next year. Those are the kind of discussions. And she goes, you know what? I think we're ready. I said, then let's put it on the market. Let's see what we can find. And then hopefully we get some houses on the market. Sometimes you just have to get in the market.
Yeah.
And be ready to go. Because if you have to sell before you buy, then you just have to do a longer closing date. And you just have to get after it. And there's a lot of people that have kind of pocket listings per se. They know people that will sell for the right price, but they're afraid to get in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we're seeing a lot of those type of transactions as well.
Yeah. How are you helping mm-hmm. people in those situations? Like what's the verbiage you would say to somebody that is selling and they have to buy, but they're like, I don't want to be homeless is always the term, right? Which isn't reality. But hey, it's really hard. There's low inventory. I don't know if we'll find something.
Then you always have to have plan B. Plan A is we find something. Plan B is you have to go into something temporary while you build what you want. Or plan C is, you know, you may have to stay with family or do something temporarily until we find an existing property.
Yep.
But what I do is I try to take them out before we put their house on the market, which I did last week. I take them out. I show them 7 or 8 properties that match their criteria. So they see they're out there.
There's options.
And then that makes them feel a little bit better. And I said, these may not be here when you're ready to sell, but more will come on the market.
Yeah. I love that. Just if there's one out there now, there's probably more.
Yeah. And you know that our market in Omaha is very, very distinct. We always pick up after the Super Bowl, which is next week,
yep.
this weekend, okay? We always pick up after the Super Bowl. We're crazy from about Valentine's Day to the end of July. And so if you are looking to buy during that price period, a lot of people list their homes. I mean, I call it March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate being a basketball lover and a real estate agent because I'm always my busiest time of the year in March when all the basketball tournaments
yep.
are going on. So luckily we tape a lot. So
how does one find success for this long in this industry? If you're speaking to an agent that, you know, wants to find long-term success, what kind of advice would you give them?
Prepare, work, be authentic, follow up, work, be nice, be authentic,
mm-hmm.
help other agents, help other help your clients in other ways that you can. Just try to go above and beyond what the normal average agent would do. Like, you know, I have a listing. My client, we haven't had a showing for a little bit. It's a vacant home. And he's like, I'm really concerned. I haven't had time to go clean it. And I said, well, if you can't get someone to clean it, I'll just go over an hour early and I'll dust it off. Or, you know, I'll get it dusted off and look for it. I mean, I don't have, I should, you know, that's not in our job description for me to go clean. But you do what you have to do. And those are the things that people don't understand. Like when they call and say, hey, we're out of town. We left our garage. We left our garage bins for our trash outside. Would you be able to take those in for us? No problem. You just do it. And those are the things in our job description that no one really understands, all the little things that we do. I've had a lot of college kids sitting with me every weekend. And I show up and I always bring some candy. I bring some, you know, I bring an extra water because you never know if you got kids in the house or whatever, and they start throwing a fit, and you just pull out your candy and you pull out your chips or whatever for them, and all of a sudden life is good.
Yeah.
And so and you don't. It's just the little things that you don't realize you do. Like I always bring a rug for my open houses if it's bad weather.
Right.
I mean, just like, you know, he's like, how do you remember to do all those things? I said, it's called experience.
Yeah.
You know, you just do it. You keep them in your car. You never show up for anything without tricks and treats.
That's right. It is so, and compiling that over time, right? Mm-hmm. So talk to me about the hours. Like, do you work the same amount of hours as when you started? What's your view on that? Do we need to work 80, 90 hours a week in order to find success in this industry?
I think as you get older, you work smarter. So no. I don't think I'm working as long as I did for a while. And I think that's good.
Yeah.
I think you have to have balance in your life. And I think, you know, as you know, I would say that depending on the times of year, you work more hours than others. And that's just because you have to organically do that because you have more listings, you have more buyers, you have those sort of things. But I mean, I pretty much shut down at a certain time every evening and I don't answer my phone after that.
What time is that?
Right now it's about 9 o'clock.
About nine?
Mm-hmm. I try not to answer my phone after 9 o'clock at night, and I try to get home, try to be home by 8.
Okay.
Because I just need, you know, and I try to every morning, I get my dog and we walk. We're on the streets walking at 7:30 every morning. And I try to get an hour worth of exercise in the mornings so that I can get that out of the way and not feel guilty that I didn't get it done. And sometimes you have an 8 o'clock closing, so you have to start at either at 7 and you only do a half an hour or whatever. But you just have to be a slave to your goals and schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And so stay with your plan. Don't deviate from your plan. And I think you'll be more successful that way.
I love it. And when it comes to prospecting and lead generation, do you have a system or do you track numbers? Is that something that's important to you?
I don't track my numbers on lead generation. I have a belief that big ads, you know, big business.
Mm-hmm.
If you just big impact. So I'm a big advertiser. So I advertise. I do some social media. I also do the newspaper. I do some magazines. I do some video. I just do some different things. And I have a social media coordinator that helps me with my advertising as well. I do buy some leads online that help with that as well. So I think it's just a combination, but I'm not tracking it. I probably should track it.
Sure.
It would be a great idea to do that. But I think at the end of the year, what I do is I sit down and I go through my transactions and I find out where they sphere generated, past clients, you know, direct referrals, or were they just strangers.
Yep. And what's the product mix there?
And the product mix is, I would say that from direct strangers just calling me off of, like, never have met me before, they've just, you know, that's probably about 10%.
Okay.
And the rest is within that 90%. It's past clients. It's direct referrals. They know someone that knows me. It's a little bit of my, I might get a little bit on my ads. Hey, we've seen you for years. We followed you for years and we really want you to sell the house. But yeah, I'm a big referral agent. I would say referral forever clients, just my sphere of influence.
Yeah. What do you think has been most important that's, you know, generated the most sphere referrals over, you know, 22 years? A lot of it's time and longevity, and success over all those years is going to show through always, like character, right? Mm-hmm. How would one, you know, generate more referrals from their sphere or the folks that they know at the early stages of their career?
Mm-hmm. I think when you do have some success, when you have to just share that. You have to share it either with your, you know, your social media people. You have to share it with the neighborhood you live in. You have to share whatever you're doing. You have to, because success breeds more success.
That's right. Yep.
So you got to have you got to get a sign in the yard, right? And when you first start, you work with buyers, so you hopefully in 3 to 4 years they become sellers, right?
Yep.
But the more you got to get your sign in the yard, and you got it. Once you have the sign in the yard, you got to use that sign in the yard to prospect as much as possible.
How would one do that? What do you mean by that?
I would do advertising online. I would do advertising in the paper. I would do advertising on your social media page. I would do a business page. I would, you know, share it with all the agents.
Okay.
You can share it with the company that you're with, or you can share it with the entire MLS. You just need to share and talk about it. And I think when you're excited about a product and you share it with someone, and they can feel how you write your emails or how you write your ads that you're excited about a property.
Yeah.
And then they see that, and then also having open houses.
It's big.
I mean, you got to meet people.
What?
It's what this business is about, right? You got to, and I am a huge believer in open houses. And I try to do 1 to 2 every single Sunday. Never miss. In fact, this one I just sold, so that was my open house, because I only did one this weekend because of the Super Bowl. But so I'm doing one on Saturday, and then I was going to do this one on Sunday, so now I just have the one on Saturday. But I think getting, like, working those open houses and advertising them and calling people about them, or
using your you got to leverage your business in order to create, you know, fill your pipeline. Know what your pipeline is. Know who's in your pipeline all the time. I think that that's a really important piece of when you have a listing, present it, market it, prospect around it to fill your pipeline.
You have to.
For you, playing, you know, college sports and being halfway decent, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Tell me how that played an impact on your real estate career, being in team sports and learning how culture works and being on a great team.
I think that what sports teaches you is when you lose, how to get back up and keep fighting. Because this business can be really tough. It can be very tough. And you can have your best friends list with someone else or go with someone else. You can have your family members. You can just not be the right fit, but you can write 10 offers and not get a contract accepted for one of your buyers. It's hard to take defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to take feedback. And people want feedback, but they really don't want to change when they get feedback. And I think that this business, you get beat down quite a bit. And so if you're not tough and you're not resilient and you don't stay positive, and you don't take that feedback and make changes and adjust, you will not stand.
That's right. Do you have a team now?
I do.
How big is your team, and how are you developing culture on that team?
So I have 4. I have the smallest team I've ever had in a long time.
Okay.
So I was up to 8. Now I'm down to 4. So I have 4 selling agents on my team. Missy's been on my team for more than, I think she's 17 or 18 years.
Dang.
Don's been about the same. Don is just a licensed assistant, and he lives, he has a home in another state some parts of the year. So he just is like an assistant. And then I have Sam Barada, who's been on my team for about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
I would say. And then I have Marla Janik, who's been on my team for almost 5. So we have a very small team. I kind of like it because I don't have to do. These guys have been in the business long enough. If they need something, they can always call me. but I don't have to teach them what to do anymore. They are on, you know, doing well.
Yeah. How do you retain good people?
I have to know them really well to have them be on my team. I get people that ask me all the time if they can join my team.
Mm-hmm.
And I look for core values. They're people that I have very good relationships with, and they're people that I would hire to sell my home. Those are the type of people I want on my team.
Yep. How do you guys have some sort of accountability measure on the team right now, or have you in the past?
We have goals. We have goals. We talk about it. We help. I don't put a lot of pressure on them because they're all goal-driven and self-driven people. So they already put a lot of pressure on themselves. So I look at it as more of I'm just want to help in any way, shape, or form. I want to give them some good ideas, help give them some tools to be successful with what they want to do.
Yeah. When did you start building that team? Was it early on?
I had to organically build it because I was just getting too busy and I needed help.
You need help.
I needed help. I had 30 listings at a time. I had to open houses. I had to just, so I had an open house team, and then I had to add some people to help me with listings. And I just, cause I used to do subdivisions where I'd sell the lots in the subdivisions. And then I would, I had new construction and, I had a lot of new construction. So it was just, I had to get some help. And so, Missy was my first, team member, and then Dawn was right after.
And they've been with you that long. That's crazy.
Yeah. And my assistant Kay has been with me for, well, since 2006.
Dang.
17 years has been my assistant, and she's puts all the listings in the MLS. She's my proofreader. She helps with advertising. She helps with all the administrative work, and she's been with me for 17 years.
Wow.
So I think you just have to treat people with respect,
mm-hmm.
honor their time, thank them for their time, and be very grateful for people when they are willing to work with you and be with you.
Yeah. Like any time throughout the last 22, 23 years, like, did you ever question real estate? Was there any hard times? Like, I don't know if this is going to work, or like any challenges when it comes to that?
Oh gosh, yes. I used to cry to my broker, I'm not cut out for this. Absolutely. Yeah. Every year you kind of go through that. I think it's just, you're so competitive that you just get kind of worn out. And whenever I get like that, it's like, okay, book a vacation. I need time off.
Yeah.
That means you're not in balance. But I think we would all be lying if we didn't all think like that.
That's right.
Because we're so competitive, and nothing ever just is a perfect gradual
trajectory.
Line.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen in real estate.
Yeah.
And you're always going to question things because you're always getting that feedback, and we have to take that feedback and get better, and you always have to grow, and sometimes you're tired of changing.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's like, oh my gosh, like when I first got in the business, the listing contract was 4 pages, you know, the purchase agreement was 4 pages, and now it's 10.
Yeah.
The listing agreement was 1 page. It was a long 1-page legal document. That's it. And now we have all these documents and, you know, addendums and things that we have to sign. And so it's just changed so much over the years. And every time they change the MLS software, they change the lockboxes, or they change, you know, it's hard when you own 50 lockboxes.
Yeah.
When you have to change the lockboxes, you got to go find them and bring them in and do all that. It's a lot. But so I've seen a lot of change in the industry. And you have to understand, like when people talk CRM, I went a long time in the business where I have an Excel spreadsheet.
Mm-hmm.
And our form of communication was a card in the mail, a Christmas card, or a magnets that we sent out, and we still do that, but now everything is so much, you know, automated and so it's just changed so much. So half of my business was the old way, and now I'm trying to like gently move into the new age part.
Yeah, and you're working with people's children, right?
I am.
Yeah.
I am. And my social media person is, you know, 20 years younger. So it's
a lot different.
It's a lot different, but it's good. It's good because they bring a sense of energy and freshness to your business.
Yeah. Yeah. What, like, there's the same amount of hours for everybody in the day. What separates, you know, the $20, $25 million producer, and you know, really the bulk of people between the $2 and $5 million volume range.
Their connections, how many people they know, how they've served their clients. I mean, when you have raving clients, then they tell a lot of people about you.
Mm-hmm.
And then your business just grows.
So serving them in a different way than everybody else does.
I think so. I think you just going above and beyond. Like making every person feel like they're the only client they have.
I love it.
I think that's what you have to do. And you, when you call them, when you answer their phone, you're excited to hear from them. You just try. I always try to answer people's calls.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things where I don't like to just sit down. Like, stresses me out to sit down and have 10 messages. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just better for me just to, you know, if I can, you know, I try my best.
Well, I think it's like what you said. You said having great connections. At the core, that is being intentional. It's being intentional with your time. And like every time I've called you, you always call me right back, or you answer the phone every single time. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think you're very intentional about the time that you have and every interaction that you have to make sure that that person feels your presence. I think mm-hmm. that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What's next for Karen Jennings? What are you working towards?
That is a great question. I am working towards enjoying every moment of every day. I want to try to find joy in every day. I think that's what I'm, because, you know, none of us know how much time we have on this life. And if you don't find the joy in every single day, then why do you do it? Right.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you get to a point, you know, I'm in at this point in my stage of my life. It's like, I just want to work with people that, you know, that are joyful to be around and that appreciate my services, and I think that's kind of my goals are just different. I still want to sell a lot of homes and be a top producer. I mean, I'm always going to be driven like that.
Yeah.
I'm always just going to want to do my best.
Mm-hmm.
I've never said, oh, you know, every year that I really want to be number one. I think that's never been my goal. My goal is to just do my very best every year and give a good, really good effort. But I think I also just want to make sure that I take time to really enjoy the little things. Like, I look forward every day with my dog walking.
Yeah.
Because I can watch the sunrise. I can look at the trees. I can enjoy my neighbors. I have my, you know, just find that, you know, being outside is just very joyful for me. And it's also quiet time too.
Yeah.
Before the phone really starts ringing.
Yeah.
So
it's really finding peace.
Finding peace. I think that's right.
Yeah.
My daughter's in college now, so I'm through the rat race of high school, junior high and high school and all of that. And I want to enjoy my time with my family and
I love it. Well, listen, I'm excited to see, you know, and watch what you do every single year. You inspire me. I thank you for making time.
Thank you.
We kind of wrap up here. I know how busy you are, so to get you on the calendar to have you here means a lot to me. So I appreciate it. Thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing your wisdom.
Oh, you're welcome.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, I appreciate you hopping on. Share this if it was valuable. We'll see you next week. Yeah.